जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी
Now Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapiladev.
Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Bara Bhati Gopi Jana
Shukdev Goswami continued, The son of Rohita was Harita, and Harita's son was Champa, who constructed the town of Champapuri. The son of Champa was Sudeva, and his son was Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Baruka. Baruka's son was Vrika, and Vrika's son was Bahuka. The enemies of King Bahuka took away all his possessions, and therefore the king entered the order of Vanaprastha and went to the forest with his wife. Bahuka died when he was old, and one of his wives wanted to die with him, following the sati rite. At that time, however, Oramuni, knowing her to be pregnant, forbade her to die. Knowing that she was pregnant, the co-wives of the wife of Bahuka conspired to give her poison with her food, but it did not act. Instead, the son was born along with the poison. Therefore, he became famous as Sagara, which means one who is born with poison. Sagara later became the emperor. The place known as Ganga Sagara was excavated by his sons. Sagara Maharaj, following the order of his spiritual master, Orva, did not kill the uncivilized men like the Talajangas, Yavanas, Shakas, Haihayas, and Barbaras. Instead, some of them he made dress awkwardly. Some of them he shaved clean, but allowed to wear mustaches. Some of them he left wearing loose hair. Some he half-shaved. Some he left without underwear, and some without external garments. Thus these different clans were made to dress differently, but King Sagara did not kill them. Following the instructions of the great sage Orva, Sagara Maharaj performed Ashvamedha sacrifices and thus satisfied the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all learned scholars, and the knower of all Vedic knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Indra, the King of Heaven, stole the horse meant to be offered at the sacrifice. King Sagara had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. The sons of Sumati, who were very proud of their prowess and influence, following the order of their father, searched for the lost horse. While doing so, they dug into the earth very extensively. Thereafter, in the northeastern direction, they saw the horse near the ashram of Kapila Muni. "Here is the man who has stolen the horse," they said. "He is staying there with closed eyes. Certainly he is very sinful. Kill him! Kill him!" Shouting like this, the sons of Sagara, 60,000 altogether, raised their weapons. When they approached the sage opened his eyes. By the influence of Indra, the King of Heaven, the sons of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies, and they were immediately burned to ashes. It is sometimes argued that the sons of King Sagara were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapila Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned persons, for Kapila Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness, and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger, just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. Kapila Muni enunciated in this material world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of nescience. Indeed, a person eager to cross the ocean of the material world may take shelter of this philosophy. In such a greatly learned person, situated on the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Among the sons of Sagara Maharaj was one named Asamangjasa, who was born from the king's second wife, Keshini. The son of Asamangjasa was known as Amshuman, and he was always engaged in working for the good of Sagara Maharaj, his grandfather. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asamangjasa had been a great mystic yogi, but by bad association he had fallen from his exalted position. Now, in this life, he was born in a royal family and was a Jati Smara. That is, he had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river Sarayu by throwing them into the depths of the water. Because Asamangjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affection for him and had him exiled. Then Asamangjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents. After this, Asamangjasa left Ayodhya. O King Pariksit, when all the inhabitants of Ayodhya saw that their boys had come back to life, they were astounded, and King Sagara greatly lamented the absence of his son. Thereafter, Amshuman, the grandson of Maharaj Sagara, was ordered by the king to search for the horse. Following the same path traversed by his uncles, Amshuman gradually reached the stack of ashes and found the horse nearby. The great Amshuman saw the sage named Kapila, the saint who is an incarnation of Vishnu, sitting there by the horse. Amshuman offered him respectful obeisances, folded his hands, and offered him prayers with great attention. Amshuman said,
"My lord, even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself, either by meditation or by mental speculation. So what to speak of others like us, who have been created by Brahma in various forms as demigods, animals, human beings, birds, and beasts? We are completely in ignorance. Therefore, how can we know you, who are the transcendents? My lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities, covered by the material body, cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-guna, rajo-guna, and tamo-guna, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. O my lord, sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana, are able to think of you, who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruit of activities, and their consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names, and your form is different from material forms. you assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions, like those of Bhagavad Gita, but actually you are the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O my Lord, those whose hearts are bewildered by the influence of lust, greed, envy, and illusion, are interested only in false hearth and home in this world created by your Maya. Attached to home, wife, and children, they wander in this material world perpetually. O Supersoul of all living entities, O Personality of Godhead, simply by seeing you, I have now been freed from all lusty desires, which are the root cause of insurmountable illusion and bondage in the material world. O King Pariksit, when Amshuman had glorified the Lord in this way, the great sage Kapila, the powerful incarnation of Vishnu, being very merciful to him, explained to him the path of knowledge. The Personality of Godhead said,
My dear Amshuman, here is the animal sought by your grandfather for sacrifice. Please take it. As for your forefathers, who have been burnt to ashes, they can be delivered only by Ganges water, and not by any other means.
Thereafter, Amshuman circumambulated Kapila Muni and offered him respectful obeisances, bowing his head. After fully satisfying him in this way, Amshuman brought back the horse meant for sacrifice, and with this horse, Maharaj Sagara performed the remaining ritualistic ceremonies. After delivering charge of his kingdom to Amshuman, and thus being freed from all material anxiety and bondage, Sagara Maharaj, following the means instructed by Orva Muni, achieved the supreme destination.
Thus ends the 8th chapter of the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapiladeva.